All right, here we go. Quiet!
Quiet! Quiet!
Roll up!
Hello and welcome to the Big Picture Podcast, where we take a look at the latest movie news, the films of today and yesterday, and put it all into some sort of context. Seated across the microphone from me is Film Buff Online Editor-in-Chief, Rich Dries.
And seated across the microphone from me is Film Buff Online Contributing Editor, Natasha Bogutsky. How's it going, Natasha?
It's not going too bad. By the way, did you see the new trailer for Joker?
The one that just dropped today?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Well, of course you did. I sent it to you. Well, you better have watched it.
Yes, I did. I took a moment from my duties at the boring day job and kind of got up, ducked into a side office and was able to watch that. And then was able to watch it again. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'm looking very forward to seeing this. This is one of the things we have coming up in the fall. Just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be opening up at the Toronto International Film Festival next month before rolling out in October.
With some huge Oscar buzz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Well, I think the Oscar buzz is because it's opening up at TIFF.
But Beautiful Boy opened at TIFF, and we know where
kind
that
of
went.
Puttered out, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not everything that opens at TIFF is, you know, definitely Oscar worthy, but at least TIFF is a launching pad for a lot of Oscar campaigns. TIFF, Venice, New York Film Festival, the big fall festivals are the ones that people
pay attention to
because films coming out of there are really being positioned for the Oscar race.
Yeah.
And we'll,
we should
of course,
start doing a lot more of those then.
Yes, we will be.
I love Tribeca, but we should start doing a lot more of the fall festivals then.
Well, We'll look into this. And of course, we'll be watching the race for Oscar as the fall goes on. And that's going to lead us into the main portion of our show, which in a few moments, which will be our fall preview. But first, did you have a specific thing you wanted to talk about
Joker
preview?
Okay. Well, not with the Joker preview.
Okay.
But just in general, I watched my first Bollywood film this week. you're so fucking proud of that.
I can't say I actively tricked you into it, but maybe I passively tricked you into watching it.
And that was only because I was zombified that next morning.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We went to a concert this weekend in New York City. We went to see the great British new wave band Squeeze.
Woo-hoo.
And stayed overnight, Jersey City.
Lovely Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up early in the morning, came out of my bedroom to the living room. They had a smart TV already set up with Amazon Prime. So I just turned it on, was cruising for a movie. And I saw a lot of Bollywood films under the recommendations. And I'm like thinking,
with the exception of Spider-Man 3.
Well, yeah. It was like Bollywood film, Bollywood film, Bollywood film, Spider-Man 3. Bollywood film, Bollywood film, Bollywood film, Mission Impossible 2. Bollywood
Ooh.
Film, Bollywood. Yeah, it was just weird how like these random Hollywood films would pop into the feed there.
And the worst ones.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, I was going to do some writing. But, you know, here's a Bollywood film I've seen. I'll just have it on in the background to have some video wallpaper. And it was a movie called Padmavat, came out January of last year, and I saw it when it was in the theaters. It's based on an epic Indian love story poem from, I believe, the 13th century.
Like a legend almost, if I'm mistaken.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a very epic story of love, of war, of revenge, and
obsession.
And I was just like, yeah, this is cool. I remember liking this, so I can, you know, kind of be writing. And then if I look up, you know, I know where I am in the movie and, you know, I can just kind of roll. And you walked out of your room about 2 minutes into the film.
Yeah, I was honest to God, like slumped onto the sofa, still holding my iced tea from Starbucks from like 11 o'clock the night before. Just held that against my chest and I was sucking it through the straw.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just like, good morning. And you just like, kind of like entranced with what was going on the screen. So I kind of shrugged my shoulders and went back to writing. And before you know it, like an hour later, you were totally entranced with this film, weren't you?
I was. And I was annoyed because at that moment you were going, we have to pack up. We have to go. We have to go get something to eat.
We have to get back into the city to do some shopping, et cetera, et cetera.
And I was just like, no, I don't want to go. Well, you got me into this. Now let me finish it.
The problem was there was an hour and a half left to the movie and we had to check out within an hour.
I know.
So that was the issue I was looking at. But as I said, it's on Amazon Prime. You can catch up with it, you know, at your leisure. And you finished
it off. I already did. I finished it off the next day. Mm-hmm. I made certain to watch it while I was on lunch at work. And then I quickly finished it before work ended. yeah, they didn't really care that I was watching a film while at work.
They hiring?
Huh?
Are they hiring?
I don't know whether or not they just didn't care. Or they didn't notice. It might have been okay. A bit of both.
Could have been.
and I remember messaging you going,
It's an amazing wow. Ending. It's a great ending.
Yeah.
Now,
dark as fuck, but yeah.
And we're not going to ruin it for anybody. Just go and check it out on Amazon Prime if you have that. It's free with Amazon Prime, along with a lot of other Bollywood films, and I'm just itching to go back in there and start looking and seeing what they have there. I've kind of only dipped my toe into Indian cinema. I've seen like some of their popular films, like some rom-coms, some action films, stuff like that. Padmavat is much more of a big, large-scale historical drama. And it's kind of different from the average conception of a Bollywood film where everybody's breaking into songs every 15 minutes and there's big dance and production numbers and stuff like
that. There's a couple of them, but not that many.
But those were kind of
story-based,
yeah. Not like a musical.
No.
There was a performance happening within the story.
Mm-hmm. And funny enough, it is one of the biggest budgeted Bollywood films. I did my research after I saw it. It was made for, and by our standards, not a lot, 36 mil mm-hmm. in American dollars. But for them, that was like the scope of Lord of the Rings.
True.
Return of the King.
True. Yeah, 36 million, I think, paid for lunch on the last Avengers movie. I'm not sure. But yeah. Bollywood films, they kind of look a certain way, partly because they're made inexpensively. And they also approach storytelling in a different way, which I think some people, very non-European way, which I think is a bit of a barrier for some people. And like I said at the time, there's also a very large emphasis on manliness.
Attitude.
Attitude. Machismo. A lot of the male leads or the bad guy, the male bad guys are always like very, I'm a man, kind of a thing. And it could be a little off-putting. I understand that because I get a little off-put by some of it at times. I'm just like, okay, yeah, okay, buddy.
I didn't mind what they did with the main villain in this, Alauddin.
Mm-hmm. But he had
some depth,
motivation.
To it. Yeah,
you understood where he was coming from. I think they spent a good amount of time in the beginning developing him.
Yeah,
as a villain,
so he doesn't come across cheesy
or two-dimensional.
Yeah,
I like how, just trying to prove himself to his uncle, the Sultan. You know, his uncle said, you know, as a test of your loyalty or whatever, go out and return with an ostrich feather. And he comes back with a whole ostrich. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that I think says a lot about his character, and, you know, and how he brags about it, too, also says a lot about his character.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So with me saying this is a bit of an atypical Bollywood film, would you be interested in checking out other Bollywood films?
I've seen bits and pieces of Bollywood here and there. Mm-hmm. There's one I watched a few years ago. For the life of me, I can't remember. It may have been Bollywood. It may have been Middle Eastern. I'm not quite certain.
Okay.
Because it was so long ago. But it was about a woman taking care of a man who is pretty much a paraplegic.
Hmm.
And I wish I could remember. That doesn't sound like a Bollywood movie. I'm gonna admit. It doesn't really sound.
Doesn't sound like a popular film. It sounds like more one of, you know, what we would consider like an indie drama or something like that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I like more of the indie stuff. I like more of the atypical European stuff. Yes, I love Amelie, but on the flip side of the French cinema coin, I'm a big fan of Persepolis.
Which is amazing and wonderful, yes.
Yeah. and so there's different things that I'm attracted to. The big musical numbers and all that, I don't think are an attraction for me with Bollywood.
Okay.
Cheesy physics
defying
action.
Like that one sequence from Action Jackson I showed you years ago, a while back.
Yeah. Not for me.
Okay.
But hand me more of like what I saw in Padmavat and you'll get me to watch more Bollywood that way.
I will keep my eyes open then. And you know, thank you. You know, not many people would like walk into a room and go, foreign film, and sit down and try to watch it. Whether they were kind of like in a half daze because they were just waking up or not. you know, I think if you were half awake, you know, most people would come and go, they'd wake right up so they could turn around and walk out of the room. But and I know you've teased me a little bit about liking Bollywood films or watching Bollywood films. So thank you so much for giving it a try. And I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you. And I have no problem with foreign films. You and I both know this.
I know that. I know that very much. I'm just saying other people do, though.
Yeah, that is true.
I'll get behind the thought that I don't want to read a movie. That's what subtitles are there for, buddy. Either learn Japanese or, you know, read subtitles.
My stepsons, one of them definitely was like that. And then I showed him Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that. That's a good gateway drug. I like that.
And he's a big fan of the Hellboy movies. I showed him Pan's Labyrinth.
Ooh, good job. Now, are you like introducing him to like Hero and House of Flying Daggers?
Hero out on the table. I plan to show them that within the next couple weeks.
Good.
Because we were talking about the Mulan trailer. And the Wuxia influence is there. And I do plan to show him. I have Hero. I need to get my hands on House of Flying Daggers.
I might have that.
Let me get him through Hero first.
Okay.
Which is a gorgeous, gorgeous movie to watch.
Maybe I could loan you some classic Shaw Brothers stuff, too. Again,
I still need to finish Lady Snowblood. I started it. I never finished it.
Oh, my gosh, girl. Finish that, would you?
I think I have maybe 15, 20 minutes left on it.
It's a night's of homework right there.
Shut up. And I also finally got around to Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, Vile.
Mm.
And I know we discussed this off podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I now understand why Netflix decided we're going to release this in April instead of waiting until awards season for it. It's a good movie. There are some strong performances in it. I think the writing maybe could have used another spit polish. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not award season material. But it does make me want, and I discussed this with you as well, makes me want to go back, now that I've seen Zac Efron do Ted Bundy, want to go back and rewatch the first High School Musical movie, just so I could see how far he has come as an actor.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable. No, because I mean, I've done that too. I've seen like something really recent by somebody I normally would have written off, and I'm just like, wow, that was actually kind of good. You know, let me go back and, okay, yeah, I can see, you know, and you can kind of mentally chart the growth over their filmography of how well they did. Speaking of Netflix, did you know they, I guess yesterday, announced the runtime for The Irishman?
No.
It's going to be about 3 hours.
perfect.
Exactly my thought. 3 hours, Martin Scorsese film? I'm in.
Yeah, same.
Now, however.
Oh, no.
Twitter. Some people on Twitter, some film writers on Twitter were saying 3 hours is too long for a movie. I'm like, first of all, shut the fuck up, because we just had two Avengers movies that were like around that time.
The last Avengers movie clocked in at Endgame clocked in 3 hours, 2 minutes long. Shut the fuck up, because it's the biggest grosser in the world.
Yes. So first of all, you can sit through that. People have sat through
Avatar was the same.
Avatar was almost that long.
Titanic. Gone with the Wind. Lord of the Rings.
Gone with the Wind had an intermission.
But it still clocks in. With the intermission, it clocks in at over 4 hours long.
I think some people are getting upset because they're like, I gotta pee. Well, why don't you maybe pace yourself on the soda a little bit? And honestly, any writer about film who goes online and says 3 hours is too long for a movie, especially if they're talking about a Martin Scorsese film, stop following them on Twitter. Okay.
Look at the biggest top grossers in the past, actually of all time. Look at your top grossers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find maybe at least five of them clock in either 10 minutes shy of 3 hours, or they're over 3 hours long.
Yeah, there's so many films that, you know, even over 2.5 hours.
Return of the King. Every single Lord of the Rings movie is about maybe 15 minutes shy until you get to Return of the King. That one is definitely over 3 hours long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Go eat a dick.
Wow. it was just a dumb thing. I'm like, really, film Twitter? We're doing this today? And I just kind of stayed off of Twitter today. I was just like, I'm not taking part in this conversation because it's too stupid.
Speaking of Netflix,
mm-hmm,
and movies that are being released this fall,
yes,
I sent you over the trailer for The King.
That I did not have a chance to watch. I was busy watching the Joker trailer.
I sent that to you yesterday.
Okay, I'm out of excuses then.
Timothée Chalamet?
I know.
Before we come back with our fall movie preview, I'm going to make him watch this trailer.
Okay, I guess that's our cue to fade to some music for a moment or two. And when we come back, I'll have watched The King trailer. And we're going to dive right into our fall preview. Stick around. With the changing of the summer to the fall, that can only mean one thing. We're starting to get towards Oscar season.
Woo!
All the studios are starting to roll out their Academy Award hopefuls, as we mentioned before, appearing at a couple of film festivals before going into general release, getting some buzz going. So what we're going to do now is kind of give you a preview of what's coming this fall. Basically, September, October, all the way up to Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving forward, we kind of consider the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think we're going to approach our fall preview a little differently this time.
Okay.
Instead of talking about all the films that are coming out, we're going to take a look at each weekend and just decide, sudden death style, if we could only see one movie that weekend and that's it, what movie would we be going to see and why?
You.
I know. This is the Sophie's choice of summer movie season previews. But I kind of like it. I think it's going to be fun and could give us a couple of interesting discussions and a couple of heart-wrenching discussions. So let's get right into it, shall we? And honestly, the first weekend's easy. September 6th. All we have really coming out is It Chapter 2. So we're going to that, right?
Obviously.
Yes. There's no way.
Obviously.
No way we're missing that. All right. So moving on. September 13th, we have The Goldfinch, which we talked about a few weeks back when the trailer first appeared. And Hustlers, which is a comedy about some strippers who are hit by the economic recession of the mid-2000s and are trying to figure out ways to make ends meet.
And inspired by a true story of the hustlers at Scores.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the name of the article that was published that is the basis of this film.
Mm-hmm.
So, Natasha.
Seriously?
What are you going to see?
The Goldfinch.
I sort of figured as much.
It's a Pulitzer Prize winning novel that has the likes of Nicole Kidman, Jeffrey Wright, Ansel Elgort, Finn Wolfhard.
I know,
It's Oscar written all over it. I'm going to fucking see that.
Okay. And yes, it has a great pedigree and everything. I'm looking at Hustlers and thinking to myself, just based on the premise, it sounds like it doesn't shame these women at all.
No.
So it sounds like it's a very sex positive film. Yeah. I like that. I like that idea. It's an all woman lead cast. So I like that too. We don't see enough of that. So I'm kind of up in the air. You know, it's like, okay, I thought about this today at work far more than I probably should have been.
And I remember asking you the other day, did you have any plans to see Hustlers?
And I hadn't given it much thought, really. I hadn't seen anything really about it. And, you know, so as I was doing some of the research for today, I looked at it and went,
did you watch the trailer?
No, I didn't watch the trailer. But, you know, from what I was reading, I was like, you know, oh, man, this. So here we are, second weekend in and already I'm like, ooh. Tell you what, I'll go see Hustlers and we'll tell each other about the films.
Fine.
That's a cheat.
That is a cheat.
I know. Okay, I know how the next weekend's going to go. September 20th, opening up, we have Downton Abbey the movie, Ad Astra, and Rambo Last Blood.
I'm not even giving you an answer to that one.
You're going to see Downton Abbey.
And I'm dragging your ass to go see it with me. There's no... Seriously, you're going to ditch me even though we already got the tickets?
No, this is just bitch. Our hypothetical. We can only see one, remember.
Oh, but the hypothetical is still the same.
Yes. Hypothetically for me?
Ad Astra.
Ad Astra, yeah. And that's partly because I love a good story about exploration. This is a father-son connecting story. It feels like a little bit, I'm a sucker for like near future space exploration. And I'm going to have to pick this film because there's another one coming up in a couple weeks. I'm going to have to pass on. So I'm gonna go with Ad Astra, and no one wants to see Rambo Last Blood. No one asked for this movie. No one cares.
Agreed. Too much machismo.
Yes, not in the good way. September 27th, Abominable or Judy?
Judy.
Judy, yeah, same here. A biopic on the latter years of Judy Garland's tragic life. Mm-hmm. Renee Zellweger playing the great film icon Garland. I'm in. Same. Everything we've seen so far looked really promising. So that's pretty much where I would be. So that's September. That was pretty quick.
September isn't the hard part.
Yeah.
October is.
There's some real killers coming up though.
I know.
Okay, but I think I know how this first weekend's gonna go. October 4th, we have Joker, The Current War, and Lucy in the Sky.
I'm going Lucy in the Sky.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because that's the other space movie that I was kind of like going to have to pass over.
Really? Because yeah. I don't give a fig about Ad Astra. Lucy in the Sky, however, has me a little excited.
I'm interested in it, definitely. But honestly, even if you told me The Current War was the director's original cut and not the cut that Harvey Weinstein butchered last year, I'm still going to Joker. I am still intrigued by how do you do this movie, and the trailers have kind of given a hint, and I really want to see it.
Oh, I'm interested in Joker. The problem is I know everyone around me will go see it, and hypothetically, even if I didn't, I'll hear enough about it from every fucking person I know. Whereas no one will go see Lucy in the Sky. I have a feeling that is going to be one of those that slips under the radar, just like The Farewell.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me want to see it before.
Yeah,
it's
I
gone.
Am very upset that I just could not wrangle the time an evening to get out to see The Farewell.
Same here. I really wanted to see
when that comes out on streaming. That's I'm going to hop right on that though.
Same
because I heard so many good things about Awkwafina's performance there. And, you know, she's definitely somebody I think we should be watching.
Don't forget.
Be seeing more and better things from.
I don't know how the theaters near you guys work, but for Rich and myself, the theaters in our area, once the nominees come out for the Oscars, a lot of times the films that are nominated, if they aren't close enough to being distributed on streaming or physical media, they often come back into the cinemas.
Yeah. That's pretty much around the country. They just get a general re-release.
Yeah. So you can kind of catch up on those if you miss them the first time.
And hopefully we will catch up with everything in time for our Oscar preview episode sometime in February.
Hopefully.
Oh, boy.
Time to start keeping tabs.
I know. Yep. Okay. Let's move forward, though. October 11th, we've got the animated Addams Family.
Ugh.
We've got Gemini Man.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Jexy, the comedy about the guy being tortured and tormented by his
iPhone.
his personal assistant, kind of like Google assistant thing.
I'm going to go. Do I have to see any of these?
Yes.
Sometimes Gemini Man.
Sometimes it's hard to pick because you want to see more than one. Sometimes it's hard to pick because you don't want to see any of them.
Gemini Man.
Actually, Gemini Man is pretty much where I was landing as well.
Okay, good.
We've got two good Addams Family movies already. I'm anxious. I'm interested in seeing how it looks animated. I think about the Jexy.
I've seen the trailers.
It's just, ugh. But Gemini Man, I'm not too hot on either, but it's Ang Lee directing, so I'm hoping there'll be something interesting. I mean,
he's always good.
He brings something interesting in terms of style, even when the movie's not great. Like his Hulk movie, there was still some interesting camera things that he did.
I'd forgotten about that one.
Yeah, you know, the Hulk movie where it ends with Hulk beating up a lake?
Well, here's the thing. I was thinking of Sense and Sensibility,
mm-hmm.
Crouching Tiger, Brokeback Mountain,
mm-hmm.
Life of Pi.
Okay.
I completely had forgotten Hulk even existed.
That's quite okay. That's not a problem.
This coming week afterwards, October 18th, is the hell of all hells for me right now.
Okay, here's what we're going to do to make this a little easier. Fathom Events is having the Jay and Silent Bob reboot event. Mm-hmm. You know, the new Kevin Smith movie. And they're going to do it as a one-off or two-night event on the 16th. We're going to take that one off the table.
Well, thank you.
Okay, because, you know, that's, I kind of view that, A, it's not the weekend. It happens, you know, on, like, Wednesday. And it's kind of like not a traditional release. So, yeah, so I'm going to grandfather that thing right out. So that makes this weekend a little easier. However, we have Taika Waititi's Jojo Rabbit. We have Zombieland 2, Double Tap. We have The Lighthouse. And we have the new Steven Soderbergh film, The Laundromat. And that's with Meryl Streep. It's about the Panama Papers scandal from the late 70s, early 80s. So that, just those three things. Steven Soderbergh, Streep, Panama Papers. I'm very intrigued by that. Because that's going to be a journalism story. But
the post wasn't that great.
I know, but you know, I still am.
And
a
that had Meryl Streep.
Yes,
and Tom Hanks, and it still wasn't a hit.
Well, that could come down to the script, but so I'm kind of torn between Soderbergh and The Laundromat and Taika Waititi's Jojo Rabbit.
I've waited 10 years for Zombieland Double Tap, but you want to know what? I'm going Lighthouse.
Really? How so?
You saw the trailer.
Oh, the trailer's magnificent. The trailer is just strong enough to overcome 10 years of waiting for a Zombieland sequel?
Yes.
Wow.
It's done black and white. Mm-hmm. It's done in Academy ratio. Mm-hmm. It's two actors only, Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson. And it's by the guy who directed The Witch. That's all I need.
Fair enough.
This is a movie I didn't know I needed until I needed it.
I think for me, because I liked Eagle and Shark, I like the Wilderness People movie, whose full name I'm forgetting. I like Taika Waititi when he's not doing... Well, I liked his, you know, Thor movie as well, but he is such an offbeat and interesting director. I'm going to have to go with Jojo Rabbit for the weekend.
You did love What We Do in the Shadows. You were choking at one point.
I know. I
we were eating dinner and he started choking on his own food. He was laughing so hard. Yes. We had to pause the movie for a good 5-6 minutes.
Oh, and by the way, I've started to watch the FX series based on the show.
How is it?
It's pretty good. And the one girl from Booksmart is in it too.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So it's, I was like, oh, hey, Beanie Feldstein. Cool. So I'm only 3 episodes in, but I would recommend it to folks. So, okay. Jumping forward, we're at November 1st.
Already.
Okay. We've got Harriet,
mm-hmm.
Motherless Brooklyn, and Terminator Dark Fate.
I'm going to go with Harriet.
Okay.
It's about Harriet Tubman. You want to talk about a more feminist positive film at a time where we need that kind of power?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a statement.
Okay, I like that. I'm really interested in Motherless Brooklyn, though. I mean, it's Edward Norton directing. It's got Bruce Willis, Willem Dafoe, and Alec Baldwin. It's set in the mid-1950s. I'm kind of in for that.
Oh, you just want to pick up some costuming ideas.
Well, that too. But true. Okay. Let's see. Now, moving forward, we're at November 8th now.
This is killer.
Yeah, this is another one of those tough weeks. We've got Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining. We've got Honey Boy. We've got Paul Feig's Last Christmas. And Midway.
Midway is off the table right now.
Okay.
It's a remake.
It's a new telling of the same historical event that the past movie called Midway told.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. Would that technically be a remake then?
It could be.
It
could be. I would have to go back and rewatch the one with Charlton Heston.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been 7-8 years since I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I'm seeing right now, nothing in this trailer is really jumping out at me.
Okay.
Except it's a war movie,
mm-hmm.
which that alone is enough to get noticed by the freaking Oscars for some reason. Last Christmas, off the table. Nope.
Really?
I know I'm a Christmas nutter, and mm-hmm. I just turned down a Christmas movie.
Yes.
First off. What? If it's a Christmas movie, why release it in fucking early November?
I do not know. No one asked me about that.
It should be out around Thanksgiving to start the season. I'm going Honey Boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a more interesting story. Stephen King is hit or miss. Great with It. Terrible with Pet Sematary.
Yes.
Ewan McGregor. I love him, but I think Honey Boy is going to be a stronger film. And I may be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen of Honey Boy so far, that's the one I need to be seeing and the one I want to see.
As much as I'm intrigued by, you know, what they managed to replicate from Kubrick's The Shining, much in the same way that they did for Ready Player One.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I think I'm going to see Honey Boy that day.
Woo!
November 15th, we have Charlie's Angels,
mm-hmm.
Ford versus Ferrari, and The Good Liar.
I want you to guess mine.
I think you're going to pass on Charlie's Angels. This is like the worst F. Mary kill ever.
And the funny part is you know how badly I want to see that Charlie's Angels.
I know. I know. We all want... I think we both want to see all three of these movies. But I think you're going to go with The Good Liar.
You're right. And even Katrina Balfe isn't enough to make me go see Ford versus Ferrari.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one I'm kind of leaning towards, even though I'm not a car guy by any stretch of the
imagination. It's an Oscar film.
Yeah.
It is a big Oscar film. And... I kind of want to see it just for that. But that's not one that I feel is top of my list at for this particular mm-hmm. weekend. When it comes back around, I'll go see it. What about you?
I said I'm definitely down for Ford versus Ferrari.
All right.
So, okay, home stretch. November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Frozen 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks as the great Fred Rogers.
Okay. Where are you headed?
Where do you think I'm headed?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Yes. Now, can you guess why, though?
Because you hate Frozen?
No. I don't mind Frozen. It's a great X-Men movie. I'm firmly in the It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood camp, partly because of Tom Hanks, because why would you not go see a Tom Hanks performance?
And because you just saw Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Won't You Be My Neighbor is a great documentary about Fred Rogers, so I want to see how those two complement each other. But the director of this movie is the same director as last year's Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay.
Which I really liked and was really impressed with how that film was put together, how she got a great performance out of Melissa McCarthy. That is kind of the hook for me there. It's like, I want to see what she can do next.
All right.
And what are you doing that weekend?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Just because you don't want to go see Frozen 2 or...
Tom Hanks. Frozen 2. I'm going to have to take my kids to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be seeing it either way. But the movie that I would choose to see, mm-hmm. Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
And for fuck Thanksgiving, we're both going to be at that one.
Yeah, for Thanksgiving.
There's only one. Knives Out.
And like I said, it's a film about relatives who want to kill each other, which is the perfect movie to release at Thanksgiving.
Yes. And holy cast on that.
Yeah, an amazing cast. We just can't stop ranting about that cast.
No, we can't. And who are they directed by?
The great, he has done no wrong yet, Rian Johnson.
I would agree with you, but there are many, many fanboys out there.
Small number of fanboys who are very loud on Twitter.
About Last Jedi.
And they'd be wrong.
Agreed.
You are welcome to your opinion. Just be aware that you're probably wrong.
And there is your opinion.
I know. I'm joking. I have had substantive debates and discussions about The Last Jedi. I've been part of just, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard anybody ever said, discussions about The Last Jedi.
Me too.
With, you know, all the characters are Mary Sue. All the Disney stuff is just garbage. You know, it's like, no, sorry, you're wrong. And you know, there's, you know, a certain weird visceral hate towards certain things in Star Wars from Star Wars fans that I just don't understand because they can't quantify it in any kind of critical way. They just say it's crap, it's garbage, or they make up reasons. It's a money grab. Guess what? All movies are money grabs. Any movie that's made is a money grab because somebody's spending money to make some more money. So you can't say, you know, it's a money grab and have that be any kind of real critical knock against something. William Shakespeare had bills to pay. Alfred Hitchcock had bills to pay. Rian Johnson has bills to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of is the fall schedule so far that we're looking at. Some other things are bound to be announced along the way.
Like The King.
The King, I'm sure we'll have a title time to announce soon. There were a couple of other things that I was looking at that are going to be rolled out at film festivals in the next couple of weeks that don't have solid theatrical dates yet. Some things,
because they're still looking for distribution, full on.
Yeah.
And all that, yeah.
A few things that are definitely going to happen in the Thanksgiving season, or the holiday season, from Thanksgiving all the way through to the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as they get their 1 week's run in Los Angeles County to qualify for Oscars. Course, come the end of November, we'll give a preview of that month and a half of films.
Funny enough, we've talked about foreign films,
mm-hmm.
and yet we have not come across, I haven't heard of any particular foreign films that are going to be big for this year's award season.
Those tend to run a little under the radar until, like, right as the Academy starts assembling, like, their bake-off lists.
Same. I think I'm right there with you, and I agree. With the Golden Globes coming up, the SAG Awards, the BAFTAs are usually, like, a couple days before the Oscars, if not a couple days after, usually before. You know, once they start compiling lists and start putting things out, mm-hmm. then I think we'll have a better idea.
Now the only film I've heard of, and I've heard, you know, a little bit of buzz about this already.
Which one?
South Korean film from The Parasite, or Parasite, excuse me.
Yes, we reviewed the trailer for that. Bong
Joon-ho. Yeah, we watched the trailer. That is going to be South Korea's submission for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars this year.
I'm not surprised.
That was announced about a week ago.
From what I'm seeing, it mm-hmm. looks good.
Yeah. And, you know, Bong had, they previously submitted his film Mother back in 2006 to the Oscars. Didn't make it all the way through. He's directed The Host, which is a great film. It's probably one of the best giant monster movies or medium-sized monster movies, I guess, that I've seen in a long while. And that includes a lot of the big budgeted Hollywood stuff, like the, you know, King Kong, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, all that stuff. Because there's a great core, emotional core about family that runs through that movie. That's really good. So if you haven't seen that came out about 2008, I think. I would recommend checking that out. But yeah, you're right. Not a whole lot of foreign films. But then again, a lot of the foreign films that become entries for Oscar eligibility don't get big releases, which is frustrating.
Yeah, but after last year's wonderful Roma, you'd think that we would hear a lot more.
Well, Roma's a different case, though. I mean, it was released by Netflix. So Netflix was able to put it out on, you know, a certain amount of screens to very, very easily qualify for Oscar consideration for all categories it was nominated in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a kind of a little bit of a different animal than the normal Best Foreign Language Film Picture. Hopefully we will start hearing more about some of those hopefuls as the fall season progresses.
This is my favorite time of year. I get Christmas and the Oscars all at once.
Oh, cue the Andy Williams here, I guess.
wow.
No. Why not? Just change some lyrics about Oscar gold and stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can see that smile on your face. You're thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
How would I do that? So
it's the most wonderful time of the year. Actually, it kind of is. I just had my first pumpkin spice latte yesterday.
Oh, dear God. Okay, can we get into, like, the middle of September before we start doing pumpkin spice anything?
No. Ugh. I'm not a big pumpkin spice girl, actually. Mm-hmm. But I always give myself one a year. Because, you know, it's kind of a fall staple. I prefer apple and cinnamon.
Same here. I'm looking forward to getting some apple cider soon from one of the local orchards.
I will make my wonderful witch's brew.
Oh, folks.
He's in for a treat.
Folks, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
But I think on that note, though, that about wraps us up for this week.
Remember, you can always find us online at bigpicturepod.com, and we're now available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. So either use the link in the show notes post or head directly there, search and hit subscribe.
And if you like what you're hearing, leave a positive review, because that always helps us connect with new listeners. We'll be back next week with more movie talk and news analysis.
And that's all right here on the Big Picture Podcast. Hooray for Hollywood. That's gooey, ballyhooly Hollywood. Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan. And any shop girl.
just a factor. You make your kisser look